Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency.
One of our employees, Dave, again, has expressed his frustration towards International Women's Day, saying, quote, it was a bit much and that he felt that it made the workplace a nightmare and felt obligated to take part when he didn't agree with it. How do I deal with this?
So actually, if there's one conversation that we have on International Women's Day, talk about pay. Are there women in your organisation that are paid less than men doing the same job? If they are, it's unacceptable. Those are the people that actually, I think, on International Women's Day, that we should be taking the lessons that we've learned from the trailblazers, from the people who've broken down the barriers and smashed the glass ceilings. Just before we start, protect your business from the risk of tribunal, reduce legal costs, and save yourself from HR headaches with our Heroes software and employment law consultancy services.
Hello, welcome back to HRER episode 27. We're getting on and we're getting a bit long in the tooth, aren't we, on these podcasts?
We are. We're nearly 30.
We're nearly 30. We had our 1 year birthday in January.
We did.
January.
Mm-hmm.
And it's flown by, you know.
It really, I can't believe we've been doing this a year, but what gets me is I remember when we first started doing it and I remember when we got to 100 downloads thinking, oh my goodness, there's been 100 downloads. We've got thousands.
Like, crazy.
It's really cool
people
to
care.
Think, yeah, that people are continuing to listen. And I had some email queries that come in this morning and people saying, oh, can you do this? Can you do that? I said, oh, I'll get to it this afternoon. I'm out recording the podcast. And the overwhelming response is, can't wait to hear
really
what it is that you're recording this time. Yeah, so we've actually got not just listeners, we've got fans.
Wow. I mean, you might have.
we're going to come on to trolling later. I've got such a good tangent, but we'll get there.
We'll get there. You've got fans. We're going to talk about International Women's Day today because it's near now, isn't it? It's
so
right around the corner, I believe.
Saturday, the 8th of March.
Okay.
It is this year. International Women's Day, I thought was a relatively recent thing, came about, I think, in 1911. And it was Austria, Germany, maybe Switzerland, where this concept came around. And then I think it was in the 60s or the 70s, it was something that was pushed by the UN. So this has real gravitas. This is like,
I've just heard of it
thing.
A few years ago.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
do.
Yeah, I would say the last sort of, for me, maybe 7 or 8 years that, you know, it's like a thing. But yeah, I thought it was a bit like, you know, or what they're trying to sell us now when you have like International Dog Day, International, you know, whatever day. Actually, no, International Dog Day is okay.
Valentine's
That's
Day.
Fine.
Valentine's Day is a gimmick.
Yeah, but no, wasn't that because there were people who, I'm going to repeat something that's probably factually incorrect, some romantic story that I was told once. There were people for some reason weren't allowed to get married or they weren't allowed to marry outside of certain pre-approved whatever and that there was a priest marrying people underground and when he was caught, he was killed and I think he was called Valentine and he was then became Saint Valentine and
that's the origins of Valentine's
Day. It's Saint Valentine's Day. Yeah, it's Saint Valentine's Day. I think that's where it came from.
That's the origins.
Stand
it?
To be corrected. I don't know. I could just be spouting absolute bull.
That's like a bad dream. That's crazy.
Yeah. Saint. So yeah, I think that actually has historical to, you know, when everything comes from either an old myth or an old story or whatever. But I stand to be corrected on that. But that was my understanding of where Valentine's Day came from. But yeah, I had International Women's Day down as one of those that were Hallmark or Clinton's cards, other card makers are available, you know, goes, you know what, it's a quiet week. It can be International Baked Bean Day.
Yeah, let's get some
or bonus. Something like that, you know. Yeah, yeah. But no, so International Women's Day has been a thing since 1911.
Well, let's just, I'll read this email. We've done a bit of an intro there. It's quite a short one. Hi, Alyssa, in the office this morning, and one of our employees, Dave, again, has expressed his frustration towards International Women's Day, saying, quote, it was a bit much, and that he felt that it made the workplace a nightmare and felt obligated to take part when he didn't agree with it. How do I deal with this?
Collective intake of breath.
How dare he?
This is actually quite a difficult one. So when we get some of the really, really juicy stuff, often the answer is quite simple, that the legal principles involved are quite simple. This one's a bit of a difficult one to navigate, because say if we weren't talking about International Women's Day, say we were talking about Christmas. And someone who doesn't follow the Christian faith or isn't, you know, an atheist who takes part in Christmas, says, it's my religion doesn't recognize Christmas. It's a normal day of the year for me. You're telling me I have to be on holiday because the business is closing, but I want to work. I feel like I'm being discriminated against. Somebody ringing me and saying, what do I do? You know, this feels like a real issue. Because this is a bloke saying he doesn't like International Women's Day, instantly the temptation is to go, stop being so pathetic. It's just another day of the year. You know, it'll pass by the time we get to the 9th of March. Mm. Just kind of engage, don't engage, but put up and shut up, basically.
Suck it up.
But we wouldn't say that to someone who had an issue with a religious day.
We wouldn't. Are you telling me the two are different?
They are different, but we're talking about something that's gender weighted.
Yeah, it's conscientious, isn't it?
And also someone could say that in, you know, I'm going to throw this out to kind of be on the fence, to say when we're talking about religion or belief, because remember when we talk about protected characteristics, it's religion or belief. If someone says, I don't buy into it, I don't believe International Women's Day is a thing or should be a thing, is that a belief that deserves the respect of a democratic society that someone should be entitled to hold whether or not we believe with it? Potentially. Ethical veganism was found to be one. Mm-hmm. Jediism was found not to be. Someone who wanted to live his life in accordance with the principles of the Jedi.
How can you say that with a straight face?
Well, this is, you know, it's one of the leading cases.
Crazy.
So we've got to be careful we don't have that knee-jerk reaction that, you know, because someone is in principle potentially being what we might perceive to be a pain, that we don't go stop being a pain and go and sit down. The one that I get sort of almost on repeat is a workplace that has someone who is a practicing Jehovah's Witness, and Christmas gets on their wick every year. So they don't want to take part in Secret Santa. They don't want to do the advent calendar that goes around the office. They don't want to decorate their desk in tinsel and fake snow. And they make it clear every single year, nice and loud, so everyone can hear, by the way, remember everybody, I don't celebrate Christmas. Which by now, it's been 14 years, everybody knows he doesn't celebrate Christmas and they know not to include him in the festive activities. So we would kind of give that an element of patience because it involves religion. So with this one, yes, Dave is potentially just being a bit of a troublemaker. But we do see this counter-narrative, I would say, probably increasing every year when people say, what about International Men's Day? Which I believe there is one.
I have to come down.
You should know.
I can't tell you.
You should know.
I am not an effective participant, clearly.
No.
Am I?
And saying, actually, by virtue signalling, are we ignoring the real issues that International Women's Day should be drawing attention to? So my personal view on this is I don't necessarily see the point in waving a flag one day a year to celebrate the fact that I'm a woman and there are other women in the world. What I do think we should recognise is where a woman really, really, really breaks new ground.
Excels
and does something that hasn't happened before or has broken real gender stereotypes and done something that really kind of paves the way for other people and inspires and motivates.
A trailblazer.
Yeah, those are the people that actually I think on International Women's Day that we should be taking the lessons that we've learned from the trailblazers, from the people who've broken down the barriers and smashed the glass ceilings, to say, this is what is possible. That we don't, we don't have to think about typical gender stereotypes, that generally there is no reason why you can't go after what you want in life.
No, I agree as well. Like my first interaction with the notion of International Women's Day, from the main, like, granted there were limited posts I saw, it was mainly to acknowledge like economic achievements amongst women,
mm-hmm.
where they'd done, like you say, like perhaps excelled in business or I don't know, what else is there other than business, you know what I mean, making that paper, but things like that, like a promotion, or like you're obviously a tech founder, aren't you, like there's, I don't know how many percentage of women are tech founders.
The percentage is tiny.
Yeah,
like it's really, really small.
Course.
And last year, so previous listeners will know, new ones maybe not, I'm part of the RNLI. I'm a helm in my local station, which means when my boat goes out and I'm on the call out, I'm essentially the captain of the boat. So for last year, for International Women's Day, I went to a conference at the RNLI headquarters that was held for International Women's Day, where I think it was 30, 40 women from all over the coast came, and we went on all female exercises. So we went out and we did drills. And for the first time ever, I launched a boat with only female crew behind me, which I've never had the opportunity to do.
How was that?
It was the weirdest thing in the world, seeing ponytails sticking out the back of helmets everywhere.
Not yours isn't the only one.
And that mine wasn't the only one, which I was a bit like, I'm not special anymore. I'm kidding. But actually, it was really lovely, because there's certain things that are unique to women. So I can't pee in the same way as other people
You've
do on the boat.
Before,
it always comes back to the toilets when we talk about gender. That, and it's a small point, when I go out and the weather's big, my ponytail gets all matted, I have to spend an hour and a half in the shower with a tub of conditioner and a comb to, you know, before I can kind of, I can put my hair back together. It affects my skin worse than the guys. So they tend to have, you know, well, particularly my crew, most of the guys work outside, they've got tougher, more resilient skin. I go to sea for 3 hours in the wind and the rain and having the salt blasting at my face, and I've got a red face for a week. You know, it's... So they're not big issues, but it's stuff that you can kind of talk to somebody else about without someone raising an eyebrow and laughing at you, which my crew don't laugh at me. My crew are lovely. But other crews, and hearing about actually some of the really horrible situations and things that some of the girls have had to put up with, that makes me feel very, very lucky to be at a station where I've been treated as an absolute equal since the day that I got there. So I found a lot of value in it, because I learned, one, that I'm very lucky for the environment that I get to work in, but two, hearing people sharing the challenges that they face, not to complain, but to learn. This is the challenge that I faced, and this is how I overcame it. So people are learning from each other. So I found it was a really, really useful environment for that. But yeah, the anecdotal stuff with the ponies out the back of the helmets was just brilliant. I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
But at no point did I feel like I had anybody less capable behind me, or wish that I had someone with, you know, different skills. It was like going out with a normal crew. So the question I had when I got home was, well, why don't they have, you know, an International Men's Day where all the men get to go down there and do things? And, you know, why do we need to do this? Why do we need to raise awareness? And I say, we shouldn't need to. We shouldn't have to raise awareness. We shouldn't have to talk about the challenges that women face in the workplace. But the reality is that a lot of organisations, a lot of the practical things that we do have been set up with men in mind.
Especially in that environment.
Yeah, so the gear that I wear has been tailored for the shape of a man, not for someone who's got a smaller waist and a big bum. The suits don't fit properly. And they're really tall, the suits. So now we can get made to measure suits, things that are actually made to fit us. But that is the reason why, not that we need special treatment or anything like that, but why we need the opportunity to collectively come together to learn from lessons that have happened, or from, you know, to understand about challenges or things that actually that we need to start producing, making, or making the norm, is because a lot of things in this world were done and designed around men.
That is an example of promoting awareness. Mm-hmm. You've all discussed amongst yourselves, and like, mm-hmm. you voice these, not concerns, but like, nuanced difficulties, mm-hmm. you find compared to men. Do you think International Women's Day is effective at promoting awareness, or do you think it's more of a hollow gesture?
I think it's too much of a hollow gesture. Okay. And that doesn't mean that it needs to be a call to action. I think there's better ways to promote what it should really be about, rather than giving someone a card and some roses because it's International Women's Day.
Yeah.
Which you failed to do.
We don't talk about that.
Yes, tell me the story. Tell us the story, please.
Oh, I went on holiday a few years ago now, and I don't know how to word this.
Ollie got dumped because he didn't recognise International Women's Day
because of cultural differences. Alyssa Wood, Thursfield. How much did you do the name then? I failed to purchase her a trinket for International Women's Day, and was dug out, and effectively, she didn't kick me out of a country, obviously, but I chose to leave.
Ollie can no longer go back to Romania.
No, it's bad. If she sees this, I'll probably get a real catty text. I haven't heard from her in 2 years, but yeah. Cultural differences and what have you. It was that made me aware of it, though.
Yeah.
A learning curve.
I don't think buying a woman a trinket for International Women's Day is meeting the aims of what it needs to do.
It's so hollow.
I think if you told a suffragette that we had International Women's Day, they'd go, great, and then go, and I get bought presents. They go, what?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What have you done with this opportunity that you have?
That's the opposite of what
exactly,
it was for.
Yeah, that here, have a trinket. go back into your box and be a woman for another year. That's not what it should be about. It's that where there are inequalities, where there are challenges, where there are things where women are unrepresented because of discriminatory views, that's where we need to be learning lessons and challenges. And it's like the pay gap. And I got this data, so this is from Parliamentary Files, that last year, I'm going to read it, the median pay for all employees was 13% less for women than for men on the snapshot date on April the 24th.
Oh dear.
So women paid 13% average, less than men. Why?
All this nonsense stuff and why? Where have we got with it?
So actually, if there's one conversation that we have on International Women's Day, talk about pay. Are there women in your organisation that are paid less than men doing the same job? If they are, it's unacceptable.
Crack on and sort it.
Sort it out.
Handed out bloody foam fingers and mugs for everyone.
And what we're seeing is the situation is improving at the lower end. And by lower end, I mean age. So between the ages of like sort of 20 and 35. Once we get into the 40s, the gap widens. So actually, it's more severe up there because that's the average. And it's driven by the parent factor that typically... And statistically, women are more likely to have been at home with children. So then by the time they're in a position either to return to work full time or the kids are a bit more independent, so you're not having to sort out childcare or when the kid's ill that you've got to leave work, it's statistically women who are more likely to be impacted. And this isn't kind of like a call to action for guys. I know and personally know single dads, dads who really do bear the burden, but statistically, it's more likely to be women. Mm-hmm. And that is reflected then in what happens at work in terms of their progression with pay, promotion, and how they do at work.
Yeah, facts don't lie.
And the human race will stop if women stop having children.
Yep.
Fundamentally, you know, for the survival of our race, women have to do that job. They've got to bear the children and raise them and keep them alive into adulthood so they can become nice little taxpayers to support our pensions and care homes.
Nice. I'm kidding. Taxpayers.
But ultimately they are. They're the future taxpayers, aren't they? If we don't have them, then the country's going to collapse. Particularly the way we're going at the moment. There's no money, is there? So, you know, it's very easy to say, oh, Janet's off again because the kids are ill. But As a society, they are the future of our society. And somebody has to bear that burden. And unfortunately, that burden sometimes then lands on employers as well. You know, there is a wider kind of society message here that if we are penalising women for having children, what does that say about the respect that we have for the future generations and our willingness to have them?
Doesn't set a good precedent, does it? This is a real curveball. And It was raised in the new Prezi's speech on whenever it was a few months ago. What if you don't identify as a gender? How do you celebrate International Women's Day if you're not a man or woman?
Do you know what? It doesn't actually bother me. And some people feel very strongly about this in either camp, that either if you weren't born biologically as a woman that you shouldn't celebrate it, and other people saying that the whole point is that we are recognising diversity and celebrating when people are different and underrepresented groups, which when we're talking about gender identity, they are an underrepresented group. That if you identify as a woman, then you should be able to celebrate it. I don't care. The issues are not who is identifying as what. The issues are not how many people are celebrating the day. The issue is that women still face barriers to workplace promotion, pay, the ability to progress.
Absolutely.
And the same is whether you identify or not. And this isn't that argument. We're not getting into that debate on this podcast. It's one that we can do for another time. But I think, again, it detracts from why we should be having the day and what
point,
we should be doing with it. And I've been fortunate enough this year. So I'm on the Barclays and Accelerate Her Eagle Labs female founders. So it's a tech initiative where there's myself and 99 other female founders in tech, and we're on a program where we get to talk about things like marketing, procurement, pitching, sales processes, so where they're upskilling, but we also get to share stories, challenges, where our businesses are up to and what we're doing with other female founders. And I read some statistic about the divide between how much women founders are able to secure in terms of investment and financial backing compared to men. The gap is huge. Statistically, if you are a woman, you're basically not going to get funding.
I read the similar thing on LinkedIn, and to the extent where there's someone, I can't remember who it was, they've set up like a funding business, I don't know what you call it, a fund for female founders exclusively because of the difference.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know if it's
probably prejudice, isn't it?
Potentially. I mean, it makes me feel very lucky that we're a business that, you know, we have an MVP, we're at market, we have customers, you know, and that we have been able to get to where we are because we have investment. But we're an absolute minority. And when I'm hearing the business ideas that these people have, the products that they have, and a lot of them are in medical fields, you know, this is medical technology that can make a difference to people's lives, and they can't get funding. And it's remarkable. And I don't know if it's the decision makers, whether there are still old prejudices, because typically the people who've got that level of money available to be investing tend to be of a certain generation. Again, that's a bit of a stereotype, but typically when you look statistically, you know, whether that they're struggling to, you know, find common ground with the female founders or what it is, or whether it is just kind of, you know, unconscious bias. I don't know. But certainly for me, this program has been brilliant. One, because of the, you know, I've got a legal background, not a business background. So it's been great for me in terms of, you know, for learning, but also kind of connecting and networking with other women and kind of sharing those challenges and learning points. And that's where you see the value of it. It's not cornering ourselves off and saying that we're special and, you know, we need special treatment. It's, this is how I overcame a challenge. You can learn from it.
That's interesting. Because we obviously spoke about International Women's Day and how it perhaps doesn't combat the problems you think it should. Do you think like peer support groups, things like that, like open forums are a better way to go about empowerment?
I think peer support is essential, and it doesn't have to be woman-on-woman peer support. So through my legal journey, I've worked in a very big corporate law firm. I didn't have a female role model. All the people that I worked for, so the managing partners that I work for in the departments, have all been men. And I had an exceptional experience in terms of mentorship, support, peer support. Same in my lifeboat world. I never really had a female mentor. It's always been men championing the way, saying, yes, you can do this. Yes, we're going to support you to do it. So it doesn't have to be female to female peer support at all. It can be absolutely led by men. But I think having that peer support there is absolutely essential, regardless of where it comes from.
I think it's a valid point. We haven't really covered many questions like recently. So far, I'll rattle off a few. How can HR effectively handle situations where employees have conflicting opinions about workplace celebrations?
So there's kind of like a baseline that I come back to with this, which is you don't have to agree with things that people say in the workplace. You don't have to agree with other people's beliefs and opinions in the workplace, but you respect that they hold them. So if someone has a different opinion to you, you don't need to tell them that they're wrong. You don't need to tell them that their beliefs or opinions are stupid. You don't need to try and convince them to come over to your side. You can find their beliefs and views interesting, and you can move on and talk about something else. If you have got a situation where people are trying to force people to believe what they believe, or they're treating someone poorly because of their beliefs, that is potentially misconduct. We don't put anyone to a detriment or any negative behavior because of the beliefs that they hold. So it can be very easy to take the mickey out of people, or, you know, we're back to that banter word again, you know, where, you know, perhaps you've been making jokes about a certain set of held beliefs, but we respect other people's opinions and their belief system. We don't have to convert them. My view generally is try not to talk about religion and politics at work.
Unless you hold none. It's like an open discussion forum, isn't it?
They're subjects where people tend to either cause offence or take offence, probably a little bit easier than in other areas, because it's things that are very personal to them.
Very hot temperature, aren't they?
Yeah, and particularly, you know, what we saw during the lead up to the election in the UK, very, very heated in the UK this time around.
It still is.
And still is, you know, and I don't think actually the narrative that comes out of Parliament helps either. So, you know, where you'll hear people in the Labour Party calling people dirty Tories. And it's like, why are we using that kind of language? You're a politician. You know, the whole point of you is to sit and represent your constituency, and you're using language like that. What is wrong with you? Did you not have like a wider, you know, pool of language to draw from than using just really childish insults. I think it's just, and then the American election, you know, you have people who threaten to shoot each other because they hold opposing political views. What is wrong with the world?
It's funny. Do you ever wonder, like, what aliens would think if they, like, looked at the UK Parliament and just saw people, two men sat over loads of books, or closed book, clearly, as well, just shouting at each other?
Yeah, and not using the coherent or eloquent language that's in any of those books.
No.
Just shouting insults at each other. They'd be like,
his
no
honourable
thanks.
Was a right back in the day. Like, that kind of, it's crazy,
yeah,
mate. It's crazy.
Just, I think there's better ways that we can express where we disagree with other people. Yeah, so when, you know, in the situation where we've got Dave with International Women's Day, you can say to him, look, you don't have to take part. Okay, you may feel it's being forced on you. If we've put banners or balloons up, I doubt it went that far. And, you know, if everyone's talking about it or you've got women saying what they're doing for International Women's Day, nod and smile and say, that sounds like a lovely day, and get back to your work.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, just lie, Dave. You don't have to make a big song and dance and kind of draw attention to the fact that you're a gross, you know, non-advocate of it. All that's going to do is cause friction with someone who really believes it's a special day. If you think it's ridiculous that they think it's a special day, well, great, go home and whinge to your partner about it. You don't need to be causing offence in the workplace by telling someone that their belief or their opinion is stupid.
Having the ability to disagree well, I think is really underrated.
Mm.
Like having a, you can disagree, I think you can disagree with people, granted probably not about such hot temperature subjects, but it often leads to like an improved communication cycle, I think.
I'm a big advocate of conflict reduction, not conflict resolution, because generally conflict resolution, you are resolving the conflict. And often if you've got two people who have got polar different views, unless one suddenly agrees with the other, you're probably not going to get a resolution.
No, God no.
Conflict reduction gets us to the, well, we'll agree to disagree and we're still friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think that approach in the workplace as well, that there's a lot of training courses and there's a lot of material sold about, you know, we can help with conflict resolution in the workplace. It's unrealistic. We're human beings. People have got pride. And I can't remember which pod we talked about where we had the guy who said he'd rather be punched in the face than admit he was wrong. When you're dealing with individuals like that, conflict reduction is generally the only path to a peaceful workplace rather than conflict resolution.
Talk them off the ledge.
Yeah.
Talk them off the ledge. Yeah. Just stop.
Agree to disagree. You don't have to bring them over to your side.
Closing thoughts, anyway. Key themes. What happened with this guy? I imagine he was just told to
get back in his box.
Yeah.
But more politely than that. Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult, I do think it's a difficult one, because it's not just women that experience prejudice. Men also experience prejudice, and this is where my good tangent's coming. I've gone to it. I found my segue. So our podcast does experience some trolling. I'd say light trolling. This is because Dawn filters it for us and turns it off. And there's definitely a gender divide in terms of the trolling that we get.
You get nothing.
Well, no, I get, at the beginning I got some. So someone told me that, did they say I needed a hairstylist? There was something about my hair.
Yeah, it's always hair.
They said that my hair was very dry. It's really long and it's thick, okay? It's hard to manage. Anyway, you get absolutely torn to pieces, not only over your hair, but also your clothes. And I think that men typically, or is it not clothes? Is that just me? Sorry.
You can be honest with me, you know,
But for some reason, people think it's acceptable to attack you for your appearance.
Mm.
But potentially think it's over the line to attack a woman.
Crazy.
For her appearance.
I've got feelings too.
Yeah. Men have feelings too.
Crazy.
Believe it or not, men have feelings too.
Crazy.
So yeah, I think we do see that kind of gender bias.
They think I can take it. And really, I go home and just weep. Weep into my kittens.
Is this why the hair changes every single time we film? You're trying to find the sweet spot.
Trying to find the algorithm. Crack the algorithm, you know.
So look, we're not saying that it's only women that experience prejudice. That's absolutely not the case. Any form of prejudice is obviously not okay. But yeah, it does tickle me that you get,
I get grief,
such,
you don't.
Such a battering.
Yeah, I do.
when it comes to comments on the, I mean, the ones that I get generally are like, shut up, you HR woman, I'll do
what
I want.
Yeah.
You know,
yours are quite vague.
Mine are generally, it's more professional hatred than picking on me personally.
That's what happens when you're such a controversial, influential figure, you know?
Well, you know what? We get the pod to the right kind of level. We can look at like an International Ollie Day or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. International Mullet Day. That was one of the big controversial ones. No one liked them.
Hopefully by then we'll be big enough someone else can sit on the pod with you.
We'll outsource that. yeah, wicked. That's all I've got time for today. But anything you want to add? Any little conclusions? Or are you quite happy with the topics we've covered in our conclusion?
Just happy International Women's Day. And, you know, talk to another woman about challenges, how she overcame them, lessons learned, and take something from it. And set yourself a goal for the next year. What am I going to do that's groundbreaking for me that I've never done before?
It's a growth opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wicked. Like, comment, subscribe. Cheers. Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in and don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media or even HRER@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect. But by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier and more productive workplaces.